Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. Hope you enjoyed last week's encore performance of An Eternal Perspective, trying to deal with the fears that are in our culture right now because of COVID and the race riots. It was a wonderful show, and we repeated it because I was away with my wife, Marilyn, celebrating, if you can believe this, 40 years of gospel ministry. On June the 29th, 1980, Marilyn and I began our ministry here in Charlotte, and here we were June the 28th, 2020, 40 years later, celebrating that call. The church I presently pastor, Moments of Hope Church, had a big celebration at a farm in South Carolina. 500 plus people showed up, and they honored me. My kids all were there. They talked about our love for each other and what Marilyn and I have meant to them. We had members of the church give testimonies. We had people like Travis Green, the gospel recording artist, who has been on this show before, give a videotape of thanks to me for my mentoring him. I did for a year when he was living here in Charlotte. And Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, did a video tribute to me. And so it was just a wonderful day. And then Marilyn and I took off for 2 weeks down to the beach. We had great weather, a great time together, and mostly we just sat with one another and reflected on 40 years of ministry together. It was an outstanding time. We had many moments of reflection that warmed our hearts, and we can't believe it's gone by so fast. So, folks, you enjoy the moment, really, where you are in life. If you have no marriage right now, enjoy that moment. If you are just beginning your marriage, enjoy that moment. If you're just having your first child, enjoy that moment. Marilyn and I thought about that first moment when Bethany, our daughter, was laid in our arms. And many of you know we went through years, multiple years of infertility until finally God graced us with the gift of a child. And then Bethany was placed in our arms. Then the other two came, and it's just been a great ride. We've loved Charlotte. We love this city. We know we're going through some really difficult times right now with the racial tensions, but also with the COVID crisis not seeming to abate in any way. So today what I want to do is ask my friend Ed Billick, my producer, who has done this over the last couple of few months as we've been unable to have guests in the studio with us. We're just going to talk about where we are right now in life, reflect upon 40 years of ministry and what I've learned about faith and how that can help us deal with the fears of the incessant COVID crisis that continues to stare us in the face. This past week, the school board trying to figure out what to do with opening up schools. They've come up with some kind of hybrid model of remote, but also in class that I don't think is going to please anyone, but they're trying their best. They're trying to do what they think is right, and it's just a very difficult time. Our neighbors over the border in South Carolina have some laxer policies and rules. McMaster's wants to get the people back into school, and we don't know how that's going to work itself out. But as the COVID crisis continues to grow and expand and not flatline and not retreat, it's causing many people to continue to live in anxiety. So today what I thought I would do is to go back over the book that I wrote a couple of months ago, released, Moving Beyond Anxiety, and just go through some of those principles again, folks, some of those basic biblical, theological, God-centered thoughts that can help us deal with the anxiety and fears that face us in our culture. So, Ed Billick, thank you for your friendship. Can you believe 40 years of ministry?
How about that, David? And congratulations from myself and, of course, my family and all of your listeners out there. And also, thank you to WBT.
Yeah.
Of those 40 years, 20-plus years on these airwaves, and now, yes, of course, 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, but noon on Sundays as well.
WBT's been gracious to repeat the program at noon. I guess they want to continue to give people hope and to give people faith. I'm known as kind of the hope guy around here. I do the segment with Pat and Bo every Thursday at 8:50 to 9 o'clock, a segment of hope, they call it. And I love to give people hope, Ed, because
and of course, every morning at 5:35, your Moments of Hope, which are just classic. I mean, we got a whole library of Moments of Hope, and they'll last for eternity.
Yeah, they're basically my Davidisms, if you will, things I've learned in those 40 years of ministry and then beyond, things my dad taught me about life, hope, ministry, calling, purpose. And we see that being lived out in my life. And I hope I've planted those truths in my kids. And I hope my grandkids now, I have 7 grandkids, amazingly, I hope they're going to learn those truths at all. Because Ed, you and I've talked so often, if you put God in somebody's heart and give them a purpose and energy in life, they can make it. They can move out of their difficult situation. They can discipline their lives to make right choices, to move ahead and be successful.
We know that is true from the guests you've had here and the testimonials and people that come and share their stories with you. We know that to be true.
Every one of them seems to say basically the same thing. If you'll just love God and make Him the master passion of your life, let Him discipline the lusts of your flesh, then let Him guide you to the purpose He has you. He will guide you to that purpose. That's what He wants to have happen. That's His calling upon your life. And when you discover it, like I did years ago for gospel ministry, you're never the same. So today we'll talk about anxiety, how to overcome it. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. Gospel recording artist just noted this week that he has the number one listened to gospel song. Go to it. Travis Green, listen to his most recent song and you'll hear it. It is outstanding. Trusting God, you're in His hands, believing in Him.
You mentored him, you said.
I did. Spent a year with him just teaching him truths like I try to do every week with the listeners here. And he has been a great friend. He's got 3 little sons right now. Jackie, his wife, who's a dentist. They live in Columbia, South Carolina. Forward City Church is his church, growing, expanding, booming. And he still, though, goes all over the world and does his gospel songs.
And did not he sing at President Trump's inauguration?
He did indeed. He was one of the few African Americans who said, nope, you know what, I'm going to do this. You know, I don't agree with everything that he says, and I don't like his behavior sometimes. But, you know, I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a chance that's been offered to me. I'm going to walk into the world, spread the gospel to whomever will listen.
Regardless of the politics.
And I just think that's the way we're supposed to handle life, Ed, that no matter what our politics may be, we're beyond that servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He calls us to be salt and light in the world and to go where He calls us to give the world flavor and hope. And how in the world can we ever affect the world if we're not out in the world? You know, salt's not effective unless it's outside the salt shaker. Light doesn't work unless it's shown into the darkness. So we can disagree all we want to, but can we not do so civilly and come together and as believers in Jesus influence the culture in a positive way? Because we've got great news. We've got a great message of hope, love, and faith to a dying world that is so fear-filled right now. Have you ever seen the world quite like it is today?
There's so many unknowns, David. I mean, just take it to you and our sports fans. Will we have a college? Will we have an NFL season? What will life be like in the fall? And as time goes on, things continue to get canceled or postponed, and we just don't really know. And that anxiety and fear in our hearts, will we resolve this? And
yeah.
You said, yeah, all things will pass. Gosh, it's taken some time because we're a society. We want things fixed now.
Right. My dad's favorite Bible verse, and it came to pass. I love that because these things do pass.
Yeah, now, but when? Come on,
yeah,
David.
Well, this one's been ruggedly clinging to us, and we've not been able to dismiss it as quickly as we would have liked. But, you know, Ed, when I was away with Marilyn for our 40th 2-week vacation time, and we would walk the beach together and alone, at one point when I was walking the beach alone, I thought I heard a voice, you know, and I've learned through the years to kind of hear that prompting and that voice from the Lord. I really thought I heard His voice say to me, enjoy these days. Enjoy these days. And I think what He was saying to me was they're not quite as intense as they normally are. You don't have all of the people wanting to meet with you. You don't have all the intensities of a very difficult schedule like you normally do. So enjoy these days. Enjoy them with your wife, your spouse. Enjoy them with your kids, your grandkids. I think you and I were talking about it before we went on the air. We do have some more breathing room in our schedule to enjoy the most important people in our lives. So could we not all at least pause for a moment and say, you know, enjoy these days. They're different kinds of days. They have some fear-filled parts to it, but they also have some opportunities to enjoy relationships like never before.
And I think you speak to our generation, but you're speaking to all generations, but especially those 65 plus. you know, and you start looking at your mortality and you say, yeah, the Lord's going to call me to heaven someday. So do enjoy all those days, all those times with your family and sit back and reflect. But then that also plays to the younger, the parents are raising their kids right now. And, yeah, the kids are at home a lot and all that. But enjoy all these moments.
And I would say
Make new memories.
It's not just for 65 plus. I mean, it is for us who are staring mortality in the face more than younger people. But this is for younger people as well. You know, I'm watching my own children with my grandchildren spending more time with them. And I was thinking about those days when they were young and I was trying to build a church and I was moving so hard and fast. And I tried to give them as much time as I could, but I was under such stress, I couldn't give them as much as I wanted to. Now, because of this COVID crisis, they're able to spend some time with their kids. And I'm saying the same thing to them.
Yeah, very true. Very
true. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy these times because they'll never come again. And you know what? The bottom line is at the end of the day, God's not going to remind us of how much money we made. He's not going to remind us of all the possessions that we have. What will be brought to our mind is the relationships that we have. You know, our relationships with our spouses, with our kids, our grandkids, with our close friends. And when we take those relationships, magnify them, build upon them, that's what's most important in life. And those are the memories that I think will take us into heaven.
And you go back to the word presence or presence. You know, people will seldom remember what you provided them or what you gave them, but they'll always remember how they made you feel.
Well, I think of those times with my dad. I don't remember many Christmas gifts at all that he gave me. I do remember the times we spent together going to baseball games, going to basketball games, just sitting around talking. Those are the most precious moments. So when you're building a relationship with somebody and you're spending time with them, that's what's most important. And another Davidism is, you and I joke about them, quotes I use all the time, kids spell love T-I-M-E. That's the way they understand love. And I think relationships spell love, T-I-M-E. You know, with your spouse, with my wife, they know we love them by the amount of time we spend with them, talking with them, indulging in deep conversations about life and faith and purpose, but also just giggling and laughing over the realities of what we've been through together. Those are the moments we cherish, and they can only happen if you spend time with one another. So enjoy these moments, folks. Even though it's stress-filled, even though we don't know the future, we know we can trust the one who does know the future. What's that old phrase, Ed? We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future.
That's for sure. And
that's where I want to focus today. Back to this book I wrote, Moving Beyond Anxiety. If anybody would like to get it, you can through Amazon.com or other online publishers. I just want to remind people that anxiety is not the emotion God wants us to live in. Anxiety is an acid that erodes the soul, and it robs us of strength today and tomorrow as well. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. When you worry about tomorrow, you're draining yourself of today's needed energy to attack your problems. So don't worry, folks. It is an erosion of the soul, and the way you attack worry, Jesus said, is by faith. In Matthew 6, when he said, don't worry about anything, about your food, about your clothing, you know, look to the lilies of the field, look to the birds of the air. If God cares about lilies and clothes them in a splendor greater than Solomon's garb, if he cares for birds and provides for them every single need, how much more, I love those three words, how much more will he care for you, humans, who are the crown of his creation?
David, do address this. There are many people that live in the past. They're constantly talking about the past and fretting on the past, and then they think, well, the past is going to be an indication of the future. How do you help folks like that?
Yeah, I remind them, Ed, that they've got to put their past in their past. It's a phrase, again, that I was taught by someone at some place in my life. Put your past in your past. You can't solve today's problems by living in the past. And the image I often try to paint for people is try driving down a highway, say 70 miles an hour, by constantly looking in your rearview mirror. It's dangerous for you to do so. You occasionally glance at it to know the traffic situations, but you really look at life through your windshield. You keep looking forward. And when you look forward, driving every single moment carefully as best you know how, then you'll ultimately get to the destination where you need to get to. But if you live life in your past, you're robbing yourself again of today's needed energy to continue to move forward. Your past is gone, especially if you feel deep regrets and if you feel shame. If there are some mistakes you've made, some people you've hurt.
And we all do. We all have the
every
mistakes.
Every single one of us has, Ed. You know, myself included, we all have deep regrets. We have things that bring shame to our hearts when we think about having done that. But that's where I go to my Christian faith. You know, God came to this earth in Jesus, and he died on the cross to take all of our shame upon himself and then to give us the forgiveness that we need in order to nail that shame to Jesus, forget about it, and then move on with that forgiven and with hope indwelling our hearts. God never intended us to live in shame. It's to be nailed to the cross. It's to be forgiven. And Jesus came into this world to give us the great gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness is such a marvelous gift. It's given to us by grace through faith. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. It's a free gift. So when people realize that free gift and their sins are forgiven, they don't live in the past anymore. They enjoy each moment, each day to the full. You know, my mentor in college basketball, but also in life, Dean Smith, had a great phrase that he taught us every single year. In fact, he had a thought of the day on the practice plan, and you had to memorize that thought of the day before the practice began. So he would blow the whistle, call people into a circle, and he would ask a person in that circle, what's the thought of the day? And if they couldn't quote it exactly as he had written it on the practice plan, the whole team had to run.
Oh, really?
And sometimes he would actually even stop practice and say, hey, David Chadwick, what's the thought of the day?
And what were some of the examples of thoughts?
Well,
of
here's the
day.
One I wanted to give that was in my memory bank and will be forever. He said, when you make a mistake, notice he said not if, but when you make a mistake, forget it, admit it, and quit it. So what is he saying? He said, own up to it, admit it, then secondly, quit it, don't do it again, but then ultimately, forget it. Put it in the past and move forward with your life. And, you know, I think that's what the Lord would say to us, too. You know, if you've made a mistake and you've committed a sin and you feel shame, admit it, own it. Then secondly, repent. You know, stop doing that behavior that's caused destruction in your life. But then thirdly, and most importantly, forget it. It's forgiven. Move on with life. If you continue to live in the past, it's like tires spinning in mud. It won't take you any place. You've got to move forward. Forward is how God wants us to live. In the moment, enjoying life, but moving forward and not letting our past burden us. Again, folks, think about that image. Would you dare drive a car at 70 miles an hour on the interstate looking in the rearview mirror? You're asking for an accident. You're asking for hurt, pain, destruction. Give yourself the privilege of putting your past in your past. Admit it, quit it, forget it, and move forward, because that's the way you ultimately can succeed in life the way God wants us to succeed. Ed, isn't it great to have mentors in life like dads and coaches and other people who have allowed us to learn from them truths that we can imbibe in our own hearts, but then also pass on to our people whom we love around us. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, it's kind of a hodgepodge of me reflecting upon 40 years of gospel ministry that Marilyn and I just celebrated, but also trying to continue to encourage you, the listeners, as we all deal with fear, especially amidst the COVID crisis. If you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com and scroll down to the weekend shows. Look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end. And Ed Billick, my producer and friend, has his microphone open with me, and we're talking again about fear, anxiety, how to overcome it. My most recent book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, is available on Amazon.com if you'd like to get it. It's my attempt to try to give you 12 practical strategies to renew your mind. I really believe the fight over fear happens in your mind, in your thought life. If you can control your thoughts, you can control the emotion of anxiety and fear. And I want to make sure all of you put thoughts of life, hope, blessing, grace, mercy, kindness, compassion, all those great positive thoughts in your mind. Because again, if you're putting in thoughts of fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, despair, all those things, that's ultimately what you will feel. Your thoughts lead to your feelings. So make sure your thoughts are filled with faith and not fear. And that brings to mind something, Ed, that you asked me once, and that is to try to understand the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, you hear that growing up, and I don't know if that's all Old Testament, but you know, fear of the Lord. What does that really mean? Is that the same kind of fear we're talking here?
Well, in a way, yes. In a way, no. In a positive way, the fear of the Lord is, first of all, an awe of the Lord. And it's talked about a lot in the Old Testament. For example, in Proverbs 1, Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth, said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And what that's saying basically is the fear of the Lord, which means the awe of the Lord. So let me get the listeners to imagine standing before the Grand Canyon. Think about the Grand Canyon, its magnificent sculpture, the way it is put together. You stand there and you're in awe of the beauty of the Grand Canyon. So one part of the fear of the Lord is the awe of the Lord and what he has done in the beauty of this creation, in the magnificent gift of life that he has given us. But I think there's a second part of the fear of the Lord that also Solomon's referring to, that's the beginning of wisdom. And that's the fact that God created us, and he's God, and we're not God. And secondly, that he is holy, and he's perfect in every possible way. So that when we stand before him in his perfect holiness, in our sinfulness, we should feel a sense of, whoops, uh-oh, you know, I'm not holy, I'm not living the way I should live. So the beginning of wisdom is the admission of my unholiness and God's fearfulness, so therefore I want to change my life in order to live a way that's pleasing to him. And I find that many people, when they experience, first of all, the awesomeness of God, his beauty and holiness, they go, oh, that is wonderful. But then also when they realize, but I'm a sinner, and he's not sinful in any possible way, and I must stand before him one day. I want to change my life to be pleasing to him so that I can hear his well done, good and faithful servant.
And then I go back to, and I don't want to diminish what you're saying, but sometimes the fear is like, ooh, I better, because he's going to decide my fate.
Well, if the fear of the Lord drives you to good community-based positive
versus
behavior,
spending eternity in hell.
Yeah, and making bad choices which hurt people, which end up in an eternal separation from God, the fear of the Lord is a good thing. Yeah. So I think about my dad, for example. He was bigger than life in a lot of ways when I was growing up as a child, 6'4" tall and all of that. And I had two things going on in my heart toward him. One is I knew he deeply loved me, but I also knew that if I stepped outside the boundaries of how he wanted me to live, there would be punishments. So I lived in a fear of his punishment, which caused me to behave well, which was a good thing for my family.
And it was a loving fear.
It was a loving fear because he put boundaries up in order for me to live well. And he knew that if I stepped outside those boundaries, I could be harmed. So think of this image. Life is like driving in a car. And one image we used in the last segment was, don't live in your past. Your past is past. It's like driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, constantly looking in your rearview mirror. That's inviting an accident. But also on that same highway, you have guardrails. And what are the purpose of those guardrails? To keep us from going off the highway, which will ultimately hurt us and destroy us. So imagine that image as you're driving down in your life's car. You drive looking in your windshield ahead, but you also have guardrails there, and that's God's moral law to keep you on the highway of safety. So God gives you his moral laws, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. You know, when we break God's laws, we don't break them, they break us. Most of my listeners right now are really hurting in some area of their lives because they've broken God's law. They've stepped outside his boundaries for how He wants us to live, and we've had to suffer the consequences. So the point being, if there is a healthy fear of the Lord that says, I know you're God, I'm not God, you've placed these boundaries in my life, and I'm therefore out of a healthy fear of you and knowing that if I step outside those boundaries, I'm going to be hurt, I'm going to stay within those boundaries, that's a good thing. Now, I think God would want us mostly to stay within those boundaries because we know how much He loves us, and we know He created life, and He wants us to enjoy life to the full. But again, a healthy fear of the Lord says, but I do know if I break God's laws, they'll break me, and I don't want to go through that hurt and pain in my life.
And we all do at some point in time.
And that's why we need grace. That's why God is holy, and that causes the fear of the Lord and has given us the guardrails, but He's also love. He's perfect love.
And you hear these songs, you know, I was a wretched person. I continue to commit sin. He'll never forgive me. I've been so bad.
Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, folks, know this is true, that through Jesus, you cannot out-sin the grace of God.
Say that again.
You cannot out-sin.
Does it give you permission?
The grace of God. You don't use grace to sin. That's called in the Bible licentiousness. And God doesn't like that. You use His great gift of grace in order to continue to sin. You're ultimately headed toward destruction if you do that. But if you really understand grace, that should be the incredible primary motivator never to sin.
Define grace.
Grace means unconditional favor. It means I have received what I don't deserve. So that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus grants me forgiveness of my sins by grace through faith. It's by His simple love given to me as a free gift by believing. And when we receive that, we just know that all of our sins have been washed clean. They have been thrown into the heart of the sea. You know, Marilyn and I went to the ocean for our 2 weeks of vacation. Just imagine throwing all of your sins into the heart of the sea. And that water's beautiful, but it goes down some places, you know, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of feet. Just think about all your sins drifting to the bottom of the deepest part of the ocean in the world. That's what the Bible says. And they're remembered no more by God. And I'm so glad my God, through grace, is an eternal amnesiac. He remembers my sins no more. You know, Ed, think of the worst thing you've done. I'm not going to ask you to say it. I'll think of the worst thing I've ever done. I'm not going to repeat it. All of us have those places. We have them in our hearts. Now, here's the truth. Every single one of them has been forgiven. They've all been forgiven. But not only that, they've been, by God, forgotten. So if you have received Jesus' forgiveness and grace, and you went to God right now and said, hey, remember when I did blank, God would say to you, I distinctly remember forgetting that. Isn't that good news? God distinctly remembers forgetting and forgiving all our sins.
And then in the Catholic faith, which I am, we have the act of contrition because we are repentant, we are sorry, we promise not to sin again.
But that's a response to grace, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So once you realize that forgiveness, the power of God's eternal love that has forgiven and forgotten your sins, then in response to that, you repent. Someone once joked and said the best definition of repentance they had ever heard was, stop it.
<You know? laughs> Don't do it again.
Right. But it's beyond that, Ed. It's not just stopping the sin in response to God's eternal grace and love. It's then moving to a new life that isn't selfish, but giving to others, a new life that doesn't want to hurt other people, but wants to help other people, a new life that doesn't want to just get, but wants to give. So you not only stop your sin, but you move toward a new life. You have a new mind. Paul said in Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's a mind filled with grace, thanksgiving, hope, all of those things. And I think that's what ultimately overcomes fear and anxiety.
You always say, love your neighbor, love God as well, but love your neighbor as well. You're earning up credits. What are those things called? They're graces as well for the future, being nice to folks, doing the right things because it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's interesting. The Bible talks about, and Jesus Himself specifically, about heavenly rewards. So when we care for other people, we are given eternal rewards. And you know, we can't take anything with us, Ed, but we can send it ahead. And how do we send stuff ahead to heaven that we'll enjoy in heaven forever? It's our money that cares for other people, and it's our good works that care for other people. So you can't take it with you. You can send it ahead. When you love God, the proof of loving God is loving your neighbor, that which he loves most in the world, people with the image of God stamped on their lives. And when you do that, you're sending love notes to God. You're sending rewards, treasures in heaven that you'll reap there. So just make sure you're doing two things, being generous with God's money he's loaned you, and secondly, loving other people, loving your neighbor. When you do so, you're storing up treasures in heaven. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My producer and friend Ed Billick has his microphone open during the show. We're trying to think about different things that you might be experiencing as you are continuing to have to confront the COVID crisis and the racial unrest that is in our nation. I've been referring some to my most recent book, Moving Beyond Anxiety. If you'd like to get the book, you can go to Amazon.com or other places to get it online. If you'd like to go through the chapters in depth, over the last 3 months, I've basically taken one of the chapters each week. As we've not been able to have a guest in studio, Ed Billick and I have gone through each chapter in depth, and you can go back through the podcast and listen to each one. They are simple ways to renew your mind to overcome fear and anxiety in your life.
Just go to the WBT.com webpage, go to the shows, and then come down to the weekend shows and see David's piece there.
And I believe, Ed, that the whole book's premise is based on the fact that you are what you think.
Absolutely.
You are what you think, that whatever you're putting into your mind is causing you to feel what you feel. And friends, somebody is discipling you right now. Somebody is forming your mind to think as it thinks. It's either CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, blogs, Twitter. Somebody is feeding thoughts into your mind, and you need to be very careful about safeguarding your thought life.
You talked that in one of the previous shows from the book.
It is so important, Ed. It is the premise of the entire book.
You are what you think.
You are what you think. Some people say you are what you eat. That's great if you want to lose weight and get a good diet, and it is true, You really are who you think. And whatever thoughts you put into your mind, folks, that's what you're ultimately going to feel. And what you feel is going to cause you to behave as you behave. Thoughts cause feelings. Feelings cause behavior. If you want to change behavior, don't attack your feelings. All you've done is mask the problem. If you want to change behavior, you've got to change your thought life. Again, that's what Paul said in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so what I've tried to do is to get you folks to start thinking about things that will fuel faith, not fear. And my guess is if your mind is focused on COVID-19, if your mind is focused on all the anger that's presently existing in our nation, if your mind is focused on the incivility of discussions that are occurring politically and otherwise via Twitter and other places, your heart's being filled with anxiety and fear. And I would say in one of the chapters in the book, Ed, sometimes we need to take a fast. We need to not only fast from food, intermittent fasting is a big deal out there right now, but also fast from social media, fast from news outlets, fast from sources that are filling your heart with hatred and despair, and to fill your thoughts with the thoughts of hope, with from God's word, what he says about how to tackle fear. That's how you ultimately change feelings, which then change behavior.
I think you have a chapter in here that's chapter 6 called Cast.
It's right after fast. So if you fast from social media and you don't put that bad stuff into your mind, then you let those bad thoughts come to your mind. And what do? Then you cast them on God. And it's based on a Bible verse, 1 Peter 5:7. It says this: cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now think about that verse, Ed. First of all, cast. It is the Greek word which suggests a forcible throwing. So it's the word that was used when fishermen cast their nets on the other side of the boat. Yep. It's the term that's used when Jesus cast out a demon. It is a forcible removal of something from one place to another.
He threw them out of the sanctuary.
He threw them out of the sanctuary. It was a forcible throwing out of the people who should not be in the temple worshiping and using it as a place just to make profit and money in their lives. I think in terms of a football quarterback throwing a ball 50 yards. There is a forcible throwing of a ball from one place to another. That is a casting. Think in terms of casting a fisherman's rod out into the water. That's what we're talking about here. So cast, then it says all, not some, not most, but all of your cares. Think of all those worries that came to the surface when you fasted, and then you cast them on the Lord. You throw them on His shoulders. You basically say, this is too heavy for me to carry. You've got to carry it. I don't want to carry it anymore. It's too much for me. And then people ask me the question then, well, how do I know that He really is carrying those? Because the second half of that verse is true. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So think about all the ways Jesus cares for you. He came into this world, left the splendor of heaven to enter the squalor of this mess because He loves us. He went to the cross to die for our sins, the physical pain, the spiritual pain of being separated from His Father when God poured out His wrath, His anger for all our sins upon His Son and not on us. Think about that. Why did He do that? Because He loves us. So therefore, we can cast our cares upon Him because we know how much He cares for us. And folks, if we could do that during this COVID crisis, take all of our fears, all of our anxieties, and cast them upon God's big, huge, splendorous shoulders and let Him carry them and know how much He cares for us, I think we can begin to experience the relief we need in the COVID crisis.
And I think that's where we rely on that part of the Our Father, Thy will be done. Yeah. His will be done.
We trust Him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. He's sitting on His throne. He rules over everything. He's sovereign over our situations. We can trust Him with everything. And folks, that's where I want to leave today's show as we begin to pray right now. You look at God on His throne. He is sitting on His throne. He's in control over COVID. I think what He's doing through this crisis is forcing many of us to realize the idols of our hearts, the places where we've not trusted Him, and that's a good thing. So if this allows us to turn more toward Him, to have faith in Him, to believe in Him, and to change our lives, then COVID has purpose. Trust that today. So Ed, let's move into prayer and pray for all of those who are listening right now, as we've done the last several months. Father in heaven, Daddy in heaven, our loving Father, in Jesus' name I come to You, and I pray for all of our listeners right now. I pray they could experience the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, You said in Your word that to not be anxious for anything, but in everything with thanksgiving to make our requests known to You. So the first thing we do right now, Lord, is take all of these places of anxiety and we make our requests known to You. We ask You to carry them. We cast them on Your shoulders because we know how much You care for us. And we do so, as Philippians 4:6 says, with thanksgiving. One of the ways we overcome anxiety, Lord, is by replacing the negative with a positive. We take out all the negative, anxious thoughts and we replace them with positive thoughts, particularly thankful thoughts. Lord, we pause for a moment right now and give thanks to You for all the good things that we have. Living in this world, the air that we breathe, the food that we are about to ingest today or have already ingested today. We thank You for the clothes we have, the car we might have, the apartment or the house in which we live. We thank You for everything. We thank You for our friends and our family and all those who love us deeply. Because, Lord, we know that the more we're thankful and replace those anxious thoughts with thanksgiving, the less anxiety there is and the more thanksgiving increases in our hearts. We choose faith today, Lord. We choose to see You seated on Your throne. You're ruling over everything. COVID did not catch You by surprise. You're using it for good. You promised to use everything in our lives for good. Reveal to us our idols, the things we've used to depend upon other than You. Expose them, and Lord, let us return to faith in You, casting all our cares upon You because we know You care for us. And as we release everything to You, Lord, we have that perfect peace that passes all understanding. I pray this in Your mighty name, Lord, and look forward to talking with everybody again next week. Have hope, folks. God's in control.